Okay, welcome back everybody to our learning at Share. I don't even know the date. The English date is August the 15th, and the Hebrew day Shabbos was the 20th of Av. Okay, how do I know? Because it was the Yahrzeit of the Sabar massacre. It was the 16th Yahrzeit of the victims of the Sabar bombing. On Shabbos.
Oh, wow. Your story was that you spoke about
in the Shiar.
About
Mount Gerizim.
Yeah.
She's referring to Shiar, the Tom Ayu Torah that I gave on Monday when I spoke about one of the victims of the Sabar bombing. It's Kedai, even if you don't listen to the whole Shiar, to listen to the first story. Okay, so that's how I know the Hebrew date. So, of course, this week is Shabbos Varachim Elo. We're moving into Elo. We are learning Lidui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas, Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, her Neshamish, have a continuous Aliyah, the merit of our Chabura and the merit of our trying to better ourselves. But Ezra Sasham, we are on page 67, the top of page 67 in the second Sefer. Please, Joanna, could you hear me?
Yep, we're good.
Okay. The bookmarks were taken out. Some of them don't have. I feel like if you weren't here to organize things last week, then we don't know where we are. Okay, page 67, the top of this page. Okay. Instilling the truth in the heart as a father teaches his son. Okay, so actually a beautiful couple of pages, few pages, and he speaks about our heart, ourselves, is like our child within, and we, the grown-up of ourselves, have to teach the child within ourselves. Or Salvechik has a similar ha'ara, when he speaks about tekiah shofar, moving into Elo, soon they will be blowing shofar every morning in preparation for the Yom HaDin. Rav Salvechik says, when it comes to tekiah shofar, I can't quote exactly because that book is packed, but the Rav says tekiah shofar is the pure side of yourself, what we would imagine the Yetzer HaTov, speaking to the impure side of yourself. The Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov is saying to the Yetzer Hara, and the clean side of yourself is speaking to the Sali part of yourself, wake up. And that's what the shofar is. It's one side of you speaking to the other side of you and calling within yourself to wake up. You yourself, telling yourself to wake up. Instilling the truth in the heart as a father teaches his son. This is not a simple task. Our avoda in terms of instilling emunah, in terms of yediyah, in terms of knowing Hashem, in terms of faith and trusting Him, is not a simple task. You must think such thoughts literally thousands of times a day. It's a continuous avoda. The goal will not be achieved today. It will not be achieved tomorrow. You will work again and again. Look at the first word he says, in a what manner? Patient manner. Something we've been working on, I believe, patience together. Mm-hmm. In a careful manner, in a calm, clear manner, knowing this is how to speak to the heart. I just want to share one personal vignette that happened to me yesterday, because, you know, I try and relate when something personal happens, not as great as last week's story. Mm-hmm. Not as, I don't think, profound. But yesterday was our closing. We had back-to-back closings. We sold one house, we purchased the other house, and something went wrong. Not major wrong, there was a little glitch, a little bump. And it turns out that because that happened, we weren't going to be able to finalize the closing of the purchase. It ended up being this morning instead of yesterday evening, but in the time, This wasn't right. Whose fault was it? I was just sitting there quietly. First of all, I can't follow a conversation when there's seven people talking. Anyways, second of all, I don't even understand what they're talking about. So my husband took a picture of me sitting there with my chumash. I had to be there. When the attorney tells me to sign, I sign. I'm really being serious. I said, who are you sending that to? So, and the attorney tells me to sign, I sign. But I promise you this is what I was thinking when I was sitting there. Kapitel Chaf of Tehillim. I'm not going to go through the whole kapitel. It's Yan Hashem B'yam Tzara Yisav Gev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. But what do we say in that kapitel? Eile B'rechav, Eile B'susim, I'm going to translate in a second, V'anachnu B'shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazker. They take pride in their armies and in their horses and in their chariots and in their riders. They think that the strength is the prowess of their own hand. V'anachnu, what do we know? B'shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazker. So understand, we need all the people in Olam Hazeh. Of course. But Rachav and Susim doesn't only mean Rachav and Susim. I was looking at the title closer, I was looking at the banker, I was looking at the lawyers, and I thought, we think it's them who's closing the deal? I think it's the title closer and the banker and the lawyers who are closing the deal? That's Rachav and Susim. When Hashem wants the deal to close, if it's not meant to be tonight, it's not tonight. I can't say I wasn't a little frustrated. Of course we wanted it. I was sitting there for 5 hours. 5 hours in the lawyer's office. Thank goodness I had the chumash, but 5 hours. And Simon and I had to sign. So of course we wanted it to close and know that the deal was done. That's really what I thought. I mean, I actually went to the car to put in more quarters in my meter. I said the whole kapitza of Tehillim with Shem Hashem. Not sitting at the table there in front of certain people who I'm not sure if they were Jewish or not. But just that we have to have the right perception that Rachav and Susim, riders, horses, chariots, is not only represented in Paro's army, but it's anything that we perceive as the source of strength. And that's a misconception. They are the shaliach for the source of strength. And the source of strength is capital S. That's the Makar Chaim, the source of strength, and that's Ribono Shel Olam. So Barachav and Basusim, Anachem B'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir, wherever I am in life, I have to have that realization. When Hashem wants it to be, that's when it's going to be. These people are a manifestation of Ratzon Hashem. It's true of any profession. It's true when we go to the doctor. The doctor is a manifestation. He's a very important person. We often do your status. I can't buy a house if I don't have a lawyer, if I don't have a title closer, if I don't have a banker. Not to denigrate their positions. They're all important. But I have to know the source of bracha. And I have to know the source of where it comes from. And in that moment, when things start to go wrong, and it seems that there's a little bump, and it's not going so smoothly, that's dafka the time to remember. This is where Hashem wants it to be. He doesn't want it to be going smoothly for whatever reason. The way that I see. I shouldn't get the keys to the house. Last night, it should finally be completed. This morning, that's when it's completed. So it's not to be achieved today. And it's not something to be achieved tomorrow. We will work on this over and over and over and over again. It doesn't mean that every time you're in a difficult situation, you're going to recognize that. Sometimes you don't realize that. But you need patience. So we've spoken so much about patience. You need to be careful. You need to be calm. You need to be clear. Knowing this is how to speak to the heart. My husband texted me during all this going on. He's like, as our daughter says, it will be fine. And when I came home and the kids said, what happened? He said, it didn't go through. Tamar said, Mommy, it will be fine. I showed her my husband's text. I said, look what Abba Chizuk, Abba gave me in the middle. You need to be patient. You need to be careful. You need to be clear. Knowing this is how to speak to the heart. What should you tell your heart? It's what Hashem wants. You have to tell the heart that I am where the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to be. This is the way to implant the true principle. There must be a creator. And it requires much patience. Patience. When do you dafka need patience? When things seem to be not going the way you know you planned and for months and weren't attorneys talking and why is there a glitch? Need patience. And it's true of everything in life. It just manifests in different ways. I actually wanted to speak to... What did I just hear? The door?
No. Outside.
Outside. Okay, thank you. I wanted to actually speak for a few minutes about tefillah. It's interesting because we don't talk so much about tefillah in this class. I have a different class where we learn Rav Shimshon Pinkus on tefillah. We don't spend so much time talking about tefillah, but I thought in relation to the page that we're about to learn, and hopefully the next 2.5 pages, later, we're going to relate these principles of what we're learning specifically to tefillah as we move into Elul, when we try to increase our hisorus for this time period of the year. But we're specifically talking in this paragraph, no, ladies, you can't achieve your goal today. You can't achieve your goal tomorrow. Again and again, you have to be patient, you have to be careful, you have to be calm in a clear manner, to speak to the heart. Why is that relevant to tefillah? What does Chazal tell us in Masechus Tainis? Based, Ezehi Avodah Shei Belev, what is service of the heart? No, tefillah. Tefillah is to speak to your heart or to speak from your heart. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, tefillah emanates from the heart. So I want to tell you what Shimshon Pinkus says on tefillah, specifically related to in his Torah, the Kinyana, the attainment of Torah, specifically related to patience and working on something again and again. And it's not a goal you will achieve today or tomorrow. Listen to what Pinkus says. People think greatness in tefillah comes from purity of the heart. Why? Because Chazal tells us on the first page of Tainis, the Ezehi Avodah Shei Belev, what service of the heart? Tefillah. You think it comes from purity or from the heart? And if a person's eyes remain dry, it's a sign his heart is not suited for prayer. You know, sometimes people say, I tried so hard. You know, they say, by Ne'ilah, when should you cry? If you haven't cried, the whole Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, through Yom Kippur, including the 10 days of repentance, the 7 in between, when should you cry? By Ne'ilah. Why? The gates are locking. And when the gates are locking and everything is closed except for the gate of prayer. So cry. A person thinks, if my heart is not suited for prayer, if my eyes remain dry, listen to the next words. Rav Pinkus says, quote, the truth is tefillah requires practice and training. We don't tend to think of tefillah like that. A person needs to, this is very profound, quote, a person needs to train himself how to daven. If we pick up a sitter and we're in a rush and we don't have time and we try to daven, that's not called practice in prayer. Practice takes time. What did we just read in the Mechaber? The goal will not be achieved today. The goal will not be achieved tomorrow. What did you say to me before we began class? You said that's not going to fit in with the schedule of time. You have to work again and again. You have to be patient, careful, calm. So beautifully does that relate to tefillah. The truth is tefillah requires practice and training. You need to train yourself how to daven. If we want to learn how to daven, freeing up time is very important. Listen to the next words, and I think it's something we can all relate to. One of the greatest tragedies in our lives is we don't have time for Hashem. A lot of people hardly have half an hour in the morning for Hashem. They have enough time for eating. They have enough time for sleeping. They have enough time for family. I'm going to add in, we have enough time to go to the gym. I have enough time to do my errands. I have enough time to get a manicure.
Check email.
I have enough. Very good. Very good. I have enough time for my phone. I don't have 1 hour in the day. From everything that we're doing, he doesn't say that. Very good. Beautiful. That he could dedicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, Hashem is an inseparable part of a person's life. How did I begin? El Berechav, El Besusu, V'Nachum, B'Shem, Hashem, Elokeinu, Nazkir. I have to remember. I have to mention. I have to call upon the name of God. So when am I making time to call upon the name of God? I have time to sit for 5 hours at a closing. I don't have time for Hashem. Hashem is an inseparable part of a person's life. All of our happiness, all of our health, all of our family depends on Him, as does everything in life. If a person cuts himself off from Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, Hashem will withdraw His Hashkacha, His divine providence. He won't have time for anything. You hear what he just said? If God forbid Hashem withdraws His providence from you, then you really won't have time for anything. We all daven, but it's common for people not to have time for Hashem. And that's why we don't daven as we should. Why? Because we're so rushed to get to the next thing we're supposed to be doing. I'm talking to myself. Who's what Pinko's talking to? All of us. I'm talking to myself. I'm so rushed to get to the next place I have to be. I'm rushing through talking to the source of whatever it is I have to do next. It's so backward. The first thing we need to do in our days, says Rav Pinkas, is set aside time for tefillah. When davening shacharis, you should come a few minutes early. Hold your horses before you say anything, because I'll tell you what he says about a woman. We need to concentrate on tefillah and tefillah alone. This is the simple matter. You know what he says? It's about having good manners to Hashem. It's unbelievable. We don't say thank you to people who do favors for us. You don't express your akar satov. You don't want to repay a kindness. So someone does something, you sum with a capital S. You don't have manners? And this is the way to train oneself how to pray. Then there's parentheses. For women, it's different. A woman can pick up a sitter in the middle of baking challah and daven. That's one example that he uses. But that's dangerous, by the way, because the halacha is, remember, you're the one who sent me the shir, Sabalovsky, right? A woman is mechoyev to daven every day. Don't use this as a blanket heter to not daven. Yes?
And Rav Chaim Kanievsky says so too.
Very nice. And
Chaim Kanievsky says so too.
That you were mechoyev in tefillah. And Rabbitson Bat Shava Kanievsky Lashon daven 3 times a day. Shachus, Mincha, and Marv.
And Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky says that a woman who davens 3 times a day, her children, you can't compare it to someone who doesn't.
Oh, so I'm going to tell you what Rav Pinkas says. One second. Okay. Okay, let's go on.
I personally don't like to, I don't think that's an appropriate thing to say. Because, so you're saying someone who doesn't, so their kids won't be good?
No.
Or, well, I mean, no, I think it's an appropriate thing that your kids should see, and you should daven, but not
it's
that
not,
you're...
I
know, I'm just saying, but
it's
you're...
Not
repeating, I know, you're
not
repeating it. I know,
no,
but you're repeating
it.
I don't like it.
He's just saying, he needs to say, hush of it.
And that's fine, but not...
Okay, yes.
I read somewhere, it might have been Rapikas, that there was a woman who had asked about davening. Her daughter calls a certain time of day. I maybe I heard from you. Someone, her daughter calls a certain time of day from Eretz Yisrael, and she's ready to call her kids back to the house, and that's her only time to daven. And she was told that no, you're a mother. You have to answer the phone. This is the time your daughter needs, and you have to And it was a big rub who said this. And then there was another woman who had a sick child, and she had just given birth, and she was told to daven. She said she should pick up a sitter and daven whatever it was, 2 or 3 times a day. And the person couldn't understand. It was the same Rav. It was 2 different women.
Aye.
But it was 2 different answers. And the thing was that because this woman just had a baby and she was so vulnerable and she wasn't obligated, then it would be such a tremendous difficulty for her. No, it was difficult for her to daven with a new an infant and all her other, that Mesiras Nefesh would be a Siyata Dishmaya. So it could be that davening three times a day, a woman who davenes three times a day,
you have to know your situation also.
Maybe that Mesiras Nefesh will help her children, but anyone could do Mesiras Nefesh in different ways, and it doesn't necessarily.
Ladies, let's go. I just want to tell you something interesting. I was talking to somebody. I spoke on Shabbos for Rabbi Weitz's shul, Ishe. So a woman came over to me after the shiur, and she said, you know, she's a mother of young children. So she says she tries to daven. She's constantly being interrupted. She's constantly being interrupted, but she says she realizes, because one of the things, it was a whole shiur on Tefillah, now we're learning tonight, different shiur. She said she realizes it's still important. She would rather daven and be interrupted so that her children see that she's at least trying to daven, even though she can't get through. So perhaps that's how we can understand it. That the children, no, one second. That the children should just at least see that the mother's making an effort. I'm not saying she has time for all the halalukas and for Yivarech David and for Az Yashar, and I'm not a rabbi, and I'm not giving a psak halacha. But the woman, the children should still see on some level a connection somehow to a sitter.
I know what she was saying because my sister actually went and spoke to this Rebbetzin Kanievsky's daughter. She tells everybody that no matter what, that she—that's what she does. She gives out this.
Who Robinson called that?
Yes, and she says that everybody should. And it's not for your children to see; it is a chus for good children.
I understand.
It's not about an example for them.
Okay, so I'm she adding something else. I'm not saying what she says. Right. I'm adding something else. There's an aspect of chinuch habanim.
That's true. That what she's
the rabbi says he remembers how his mother used to pray. How she used to read the weekly sidra, the tune she used to say it in. I'm adding something else. There is an inyan that if the children see, you know, I remember it was one summer with somebody. This goes back many, many years. It was a Friday night, and she kept telling her children to daven Kabbal Shabbos, daven Kabbal Shabbos, daven Kabbal Shabbos. She was sitting on the couch reading a book. It's fine, I'm not judging her. But what are the children? They don't see. So we just have to get it together. There's different aspects. Okay, let's go.
Right. She particularly is saying that, though. She tells everybody that they should be davening three times a day and give up other things, but that's her thing.
Let's go. Okay? My point was, it's dangerous to say that a woman could pick up a sitter in the middle of baking challah and daven. We can, but elsewhere, Rav Pinchas classifies that as bakashos, what comes from the heart. It's just, please, a woman should know that she is mechoyev in tefillah. How much can she realistically foot in? That's not the place for this now. The relationship with Hashem, which needs to be central in our lives, is the essence of tefillah, because it's not limited to time. When you have a problem, says Rav Pinchas, speak to Hashem. He understands even if you whisper. You don't need to speak out loud. No need to do things that look strange to people. This is a great line. Listen to this. No need to speak out loud. That's why I said when I was going to the car, I actually said the words of Kapitel of Tehillim. You don't necessarily want to be at a table with eight other people, half of whom don't know what you're doing, and then you're going to start talking to yourself. Listen what Rav Pinchas says. It is very important not to act strange and weird. An Eved Hashem is a normal person. That's an unbelievably profound that I'm going to repeat, and then relate to something from Rav Moshe Tversky's biography, Hashem Yikom Damo. When you have a problem, speak to Hashem, but he understands you if you whisper. You don't need to speak out loud if you're in a situation where you can't. No need to do things that look strange to people. It is very important not to act strange and weird. A servant of God, an Eved Hashem, is a normal person. It says in the Moshe Tversky biography that someone came to be, he was killed in Har Nof massacre, Shem Yikom Damo Zecher Tzadik Livracha, someone came to be Menachem Avor of Meir Tversky Shlita, Rosh Shiva Wayu, my brother's rabbi actually. So it means a lot of my brother teaches me sources from his rabbi, I'm sure. So he said to Rav Meir about your brother, he was the greatest person I knew and the most normal person I knew. When I read this in Rav Pinchas, that's really what it reminded me of. It's unbelievable. It's very important not to act strange and weird. An Eved Hashem is a normal person. It is important to know every word of prayer is saved in Hashem's bank for the future. We often fail to receive an immediate answer to our tefillah. We pay for a person to have refuah shleima, the person passes away. Where did all my prayers go? We have a tendency to think, I tried, everything went to waste, tefillah didn't work. This is not so. No word is lost. Tefillah is the very neshama of the world. It's a vital organ. Our children are born through suffering, through the pangs of childbirth, As he grows older, the more the parents pray for him, the more the mother cries for him, the more Yiddish and Nachas they will see from him. I'm just quoting from Rav Pinkas. So what's interesting is it is similar to what you ladies are saying, Rav Chaim Shlita, and Rav Tzion Kolodetsky. I'm just telling you what I'm quoting from the book. Okay? We all try to be good parents. One of the things we don't provide enough for our children is praying for them. Right? I lived in Yerushalayim for a while. That time, one of my relatives asked me to learn with his son for half an hour a day. A year later, he said to me, with this, I'm ending this excerpt. You should know, I asked you to learn with my son, not just for the learning. I wanted you to see he's weak in learning. I wanted you to daven for him. That was my real intention in asking you to learn with my child. Our whole connection with Hashem is through Torah and tefillah. The reason I'm quoting it specifically now is because the paragraph we just read talks about needing patience, care, calm, clearness, but it won't be achieved today. You have to work again and again. And that's the excerpt we started from of Shimshon Pinkas. We need to train ourselves to learn how to daven. We don't know how to daven. If we pick up a sitter and think we know how to daven, he says we don't. It takes time and it takes training. And most important, one of the greatest tragedies is we don't have time for Hashem. I love this. We have hardly half an hour for him. We have time to eat, sleep, family, etc. We need to carve out time for the Ribono Shel Olam. Everyone according to their schedule in their lives. Yes?
From Penny Machlis, how she used to talk to Hashem when she made supper, that the food should nourish my children.
Whatever we're doing.
Whatever we're doing, then maybe it'll be easy for us when we come to the sitter and we're actually...
Okay. That's what I was really trying to do at the closing, when I was in my head going through that kapitel of Tehillim, reiterating that I'm connected, hopefully trying to be connected to Hashem. And I know that what happens at this exact moment is not dependent on the chitzonius, on the externality, but rather on the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, let's go. You look like you want to say something. Go ahead.
One of the things that I had struggled with for decades was the all or nothing about Judaism, because I heard from sources, very unreliable sources, also known as the kids on the block, oh, if you didn't do this perfectly, then forget it, don't do it. Why I listened to kids and not even to a reliable rabbi, I don't know, but I said, oh, the kid down the street said it, so this makes sense. And what I'm trying to say is that if things are not perfect, it's okay, because things are not going to be perfect. They're not. My davening is not going to be perfect.
But the danger is if you say it's not perfect, don't bother.
Oh, no, no, no.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what they're... I'm understanding that you're sort of saying that's what their intention was. Since it's not perfect, don't do it at all. The Chafetz Chaim Zatzal said, just because a person cannot be perfect does not excuse him from trying to be good.
And that's how I feel.
It's a big danger of the HR. If you can't do it absolutely correct, don't do it at all. And he tells us all that. It's very dangerous. Let's go. When a father sits, beautiful. When a father sits and teaches his son the letters of the Aleph Beis, he can sit with him for half an hour. Do you want a safer over there?
No, it's okay.
Okay. When a father sits and teaches his son the letters of the Aleph Beis, he can sit with him for a half hour or an hour and repeat the letters again and again with endless patience until his beloved son catches on. He's closing the door. Thank you. So again, patience. You can tell the child the same thing over and over until the son catches on. I'm not going to go through the share that I gave a number of months ago in doing therapy with a cochlear implant child, but it's absolutely true. As you're trying to teach, you will do the same thing 100 times, 500 times if necessary. Although, where's everyone going?
No, Esther needs to take care of things because she...
You what?
Didn't realize she tells him that we're having a class. I thought she just closes the door, so...
What can you hear in
there? Okay. There's something in the next room?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Okay, let's go. Thank you. When a father sits and teaches his son the letters... We're going to start paragraph 2 again, ladies. When a father sits and teaches his son the letters of the Aleph Beis, he could sit with him for half an hour, repeat the letters again and again with endless patience until his beloved son catches on. It's so true. Until the child says, Mommy. How many times is the mother going to work on, Mommy? Mommy? You're going to work with your child over and over. The point of this... section that we're doing now, which is what I said before. We have to teach the child within ourselves over and over. That's really what the Mechaber is trying to get to. That just like you don't give up on your child and you teach him over and over, you got to teach your own child. He's speaking about you inside over and over. Although the father's own intellectual level is far above that, and he would not have any patience to sit and read the letters on his own, right? You're not going to sit and teach yourself something you already know. Nevertheless, you have the patience to teach your son. Why? Because he knows his son is young. He needs to be taught on a level appropriate for him. And once again, we could relate this to tefillah. Each of us on our own level. If it's something we're trying to be mechazik ourselves in, or we're trying something to work in, then we have to work on it over and over. So I saw Rav Salvechik was once visited, trying to stay with the theme of tefillah a little bit, moving into Arul. The Rav was once visited by a student who served in the IDF. I thought this was amazing, who asked the following question. He worked in the tank division. His job was cleaning and maintaining the tanks. Often his uniform, could I use this one second, typo? Often his uniform would get covered, thank you, in oil and grime. Did he need to change the clothing before reciting the afternoon prayer? Since the donning of proper attire is a prerequisite for tefillah, he emphasized it would be possible to change, but it would be quite inconvenient and difficult, to which Rav Salvechik said, why do you need to change? You are wearing big day kodesh, holy clothing. Just something I thought was relevant to keep in mind. One more. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein relates the following story. A certain Jew emigrated. We're talking about specifically this story of Rav Zilberstein. We're talking now about talking to the child within. The grown-up outside of you should teach the child side of you. That's what this is all mashal for. Just like Rav Salavichuk says, that the shofar, the broken side of you, teaches the whole side of you. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein relates the following story. A Jew who emigrated from the former Soviet Republic of Georgia merited a son who is an outstanding Talmud Chacham and a Dayan who is on his way to becoming Av Beis Din, the head of a Beis Din, Jewish court. When I met this Jew, says Rav Zilberstein, I asked him to tell me a little bit about his past. How did he merit? This Jew from the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, how did he merit to have such a son? He told me the following story about himself. When I reached the age of conscription to the Russian army, my father spoke to me. When he spoke to me, he gave me chizuk. He strengthened me. And he told me what matters I would have to be vigilant in during my military service. On the day I was recruited, my father called me into his room, and with his eyes full of tears, he handed me a small sitter. And he asked me at every opportunity to pray, to guard me, that I should not stumble in sin. It's well known that those who were Rahman al-San conscripted, we once quoted a story about them a while ago. Remember from Portraits of Prayer? They didn't know how to daven. They could only live. So those who went into the army were often lost. So his father hoped that with giving him a sitter to hold on to try and daven at different opportunities, he would perhaps be able to hold on to his father in heaven. The words my father spoke to me were like a last will and testament. From that first moment, I resolved to try to pray three times daily. I began to go through the sections of prayer, and I underlined where I would like to have particular kavanah, particular concentration. I was placed in the military unit. I was the only Jew. Every morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, I withdrew that small sitter, and I prayed. Several of the other soldiers saw me praying, and they thought I was a spy. They spoke against me to the commander. I went off with myself, strange dots, unfamiliar language, and I was mumbling. What's interesting is what Rav Pinchas says, a Jew has to be a normal person, not to be weird. Interesting. They were sure I spied for the enemy. Espionage was one of the greatest crimes in the Russian army. I was summoned to the offices of the infamous NKVD. I was charged with spying. One day the commander approached me and he said to me, if what you say is true and you're really not a spy, what is that little book that you read from and that you underline? So I didn't know what to tell him because I didn't know what was worse in Mother Russia, praying or espionage. He's trying to defend himself and say he's not a spy, but what's the defense? He's davening, but that might be worse than spying. I spoke the truth. I said I was holding on to a prayer book to pray to my God. Astoundingly, this commander, who is unfamiliar with religious matters such as prayer, was convinced. He believed me. He gave an order to free me from my dungeon, return me to my unit. But the story does not end there. The commander whispered to me that any time I needed to pray, I should go to his office. I am convinced you are praying to God, and I am sure you are praying to him for world peace. Come to my office. No one will disturb you. From that day, I went to the commander's office whenever I wanted to daven. Says Rav Zilberstein, imagine a Jewish soldier praying in the office of a senior army officer in a country whose entire ideology is based on atheism. This is reminiscent of Moshe Rabbeinu's growing up in Paris Palace. After hearing this incredible story, I told the man I understood why heaven granted him such an outstanding scholar for a son. It was because of his Mesiras Nefesh, his willingness to try and be Moser Nefesh, give up his soul almost, not almost. He almost was required to give up his soul for the mitzvah of tefillah, for the ability to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. However much we can pray, and however much we can pray, the key focus is, like what Pinka says, to make room for Hashem and to make time for Hashem. And the whole avoda, not the whole avoda, but one of the main aspects of avoda of this next 40 days that we're entering from Rosh Chodesh Elul to through Yom Kippur, there's so much focus on tefillah. What do we spend the whole day doing on Yom Kippur, besides for fasting? Davening. And what do we spend hours doing on Rosh Hashanah? Davening, the whole connection to Hashem comes through this aspect of tefillah. So we have to try and make it very impactful to who we are. Over and over. A father is capable of teaching his son the simplest facts. Paragraph 3 on page 67. Things which are obvious to him. His son may ask all kinds of questions. The father has the patience to explain things slowly. He knows if he doesn't give careful explanation, his son will never clearly understand the material. The father has a lot of patience for the child. Therefore, he tries to explain clearly from the beginning and proceed one step at a time. I once saw a very short clip. Someone sent me the video. I don't even know who sent it to me. It was on YouTube. It was about a father and a son sitting on a bench. I wish I still had it. It was not in English, so there were subtitles. The older father and the son are sitting on the bench, and it's a sunny day, and they're not talking, and a sparrow lands nearby. The son's reading the newspaper. The father's just sitting. A sparrow lands nearby. So the father says to his adult son, "Son, what is that?" So the son says, "It's a sparrow." And after a few minutes, the father looks at the adult son and he says, "What is that?" He says, "My son, it's a sparrow." "No, my father, it's a sparrow." After a few minutes, the elderly father looks at the son and he says, "What is that?" He says, "Father, it's a sparrow." After the fourth and the fifth time, finally, the son becomes angry and he says, "Father, it's a sparrow. You asked me 10 times, it's a sparrow." The father doesn't say anything. Out of his pocketbook, he takes a little notebook, which is apparently like his diary, and he reads from 30 years ago. "On this day and age, me and my son were sitting on a bench. And my little boy asked me 10 times, 'Father, what is that?' And every time I answered him and I said, 'My son, it's a sparrow.' And each time," could you text it to me and then I'll send it to whoever wants. "And then each time he asked me, I answered with such patience and love. And I said, 'My son, it's a sparrow.'" It's very, very powerful. The parent has patience for the child. It's very powerful. She's sending it to me. Whoever wants it, please let me know, and I'll be happy to send it to you. Whereas the son screams at the father and says, "Father, you asked me 10 times. It's a sparrow. I told you." The father says, "I told my son so many times with great patience, 'My son, it's a sparrow.'" How does the father teach? Careful explanation so that the child will understand clearly from the beginning, one step at a time. The Gemara says, no matter how many times the Talmud asks you, you have 400 times. 401 times. I have to teach it over and over again. What's the point of this section? He's not giving us a chinuch lesson. He's giving us a chinuch lesson from me to myself. The Rav says the shofar is the broken part, the trua, speaking to the whole part, the tkiah. "You must understand, your heart understands in precisely the same manner. We are comprised of two parts, which are as far from each other as east from us." He's talking about you yourself. He's not talking about men and women, you know, the Mars and Venus. No, he's not talking about men and women. He's talking about you. You are made of two different parts. "The intellect is in its own world. And the heart is in a world of its own." This is very validating. This should be very helpful for us. Because so often we think, I'm working so hard on something in my avodas Hashem. Why doesn't my emotion just get it? My intellect knows. Why is it such a struggle, my emotional? Well, if you're in one world and you're in a different world, you understand why you don't get it from one place to the next. It's as if you're in two different worlds. My head is in Shamayim. My heart is on earth. I'm in two different places, Mars to Venus, east to west, one world to another world. You have to first appreciate the degree of disparity between them. We don't give ourselves enough credit. Your heart and your head are not in the same world. You will grasp how important it is to explain to the heart the fundamental concepts it needs to understand in the language it understands. See yourself as talking to the child within. If you're teaching a special needs child, you don't become angry at the child that the child can't understand. The child can't understand. So you review it over and over. So you have to look at yourself as your heart, as having a special need. What's a special need? I need so many reviews. So I shouldn't become frustrated. So that's why, Nancy, that's why I said it's so easy to become dejected in our avodas Hashem, because we set the bar perhaps too high, not realizing we need time, we need patience, we need review, we need to go over and over inside. I'm like a child. So I don't expect my child to be on the intellect of a grown-up. Even though sometimes the intellect of a child sometimes a little better than a grown-up. But nevertheless, I give myself patience. That's why saying if you're not doing it absolutely perfectly, what's the point is very dangerous. There is absolutely very dangerous. There is a point. The point is that you'll come to do it better, and you'll come to do it better. How? Not today, not tomorrow, again and again. My child, it's a sparrow. My child, it's a sparrow. You sent it to me? It's really tremendous. We are familiar with the word. Thank you. We are familiar with the words. I'm at the top, page 68. Any questions or comments, ladies? We are familiar with the words of Chazal concerning the incredibly high level of children's teachers. We mentioned last week already that in Shema, when it says to teach your sons, remember what Rashi says? Rashi says, who are your sons? Elu ha-talmidim. These are your students. Moshe Rabbeinu's sons are not mentioned. It says, Eila told us Moshe of Aaron, and then lists the sons of Aaron. So what does Rashi tell you there? Why is this the sons of Aaron? These are Moshe's sons. They're like their Moshe's sons because Kal ha-melamed ben chaveiro Torah, anyone who teaches his friend's son Torah, ki'ilu yalditiu. It's as if he gave birth to him. So we're not only talking about biological children. Those who lead to the many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever. This refers to the teachers of children from Maseches Bava Basra. Teaching the heart is no less valuable than teaching a child. I think this is a very important lesson. I think it's something that we, I don't even want to say forget. Maybe it's something we don't know. And we don't view our own selves in the proper light.
We're too hard on ourselves.
That's exactly correct. We have to be so that we're spurred on for tshuva. Okay? But there's a careful balance between being too hard on myself and being just hard enough to understand that I have to be somewhat forgiving while I'm working on myself to be better. If you're absolutely too hard on yourself, if you expect the child within to be on the level of the adult, it's like screaming at a special needs child. How could he scream? When I scream at my deaf son before he knew how to talk, that he can't say the word, he doesn't know how to say the word. What am I going to scream at him? He can't do it. I'm going to teach him over and over. This is the monkey. You see the monkey. I don't know how many times I said monkey and E. I don't know how many times I scream at him. Why do you know it's a monkey? How should he know? So who's inside here? I have special needs inside. What are my special needs? I need patience. I need time. I need review. I need understanding. So I'm a man of myself. I'm talking to myself. I don't know. You have to be patient. So this is unbelievable. It's speaking to me very, very impactfully and very, very profoundly because I'm talking to myself. And sometimes when we expect perfection, it's dangerous. Teaching the heart. Ooh. Very, very, very important as we move into Allah. Very. Teaching the heart is no less valuable than teaching a child. And of that too, it may be said, those who lead the many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever. This is divine service. Perhaps the primary divine service in which you take your wisdom and understanding and make sure it leads to knowledge of the heart. You become your own teacher. Remember last week, now we're going to add a different interpretation. Remember last week we saw that the Rav says, Rav Salvechik says, that simultaneously, we are a teaching community, that simultaneously every person is teacher and student. And I said that those three boys on the street corner were my teacher and I was their student at that moment. But now we're understanding someone else. You yourself are your teacher and the student at the same time. You within you. I'm not talking about setting an example for other people. You have to be the teacher of the student within. If one does not work in this manner, he is like a man who tries to teach Zohar to his four-year-old son. Or like I said, trying to teach a deaf child that this is monkey, but he doesn't have the capacity to, so you're going to scream at him. Why not, he asks. He could speak properly. I'll read every word of the Zohar. He'll repeat it after me. He's not going to get it. Any stable person can see there wouldn't be any connection between the words said by the little boy and his level of understanding. He would merely repeat words. He's being a parrot. He could repeat the words. He's not going to understand them. He won't have the most minimal understanding of the concepts. It's too shallow to grasp the concepts. Oh, this is unbelievable. Once you realize your heart understands at the level of a small child, you will then discover a new world to be studied. The patience that you have, do you get angry at the baby doesn't know? So why am I so frustrated with myself that I'm on a certain level? You want to be on a higher level. That's what I said. You can't be too hard on yourself, but you have to be just hard enough that you're spurred to do better. You cannot, complacency is also the antithesis of Avodas Hashem. So on the one hand, being too harsh is lethal. And on the other hand, being complacent is also lethal. So you have to find the right balance. That's another aspect of Avodas Hashem. But this is geschmack. My heart's like a baby. Am I angry at the baby who made a mess? Why not? There's something wrong with you if you are. Because it's a baby. So I sometimes make a mess. So I have to forgive myself in order to move on. Very key words. Now I forgive myself and stay where I am in order to be able to move on. Wow, let's finish this. I wanted to relate something from the Rav, specifically about the child within, but I think, Blinator, next time we will begin with that, because I would like to hopefully finish this section. Once you realize your heart, I'm on the bottom of page 68. Does anyone have questions or comments? Once you realize your heart understands the level of a small child, you will discover a new world to be studied. When you were a child, your parents and teachers taught you step by step. That's literally and figuratively, by the way, until you reach your current intellectual level. And you never stop learning. You're not happy with your current. You should not be happy with your current intellectual level. You should always be striving for more. Now you have a new task. And that is you have to teach the child. You, your mind, has to teach your heart. You must begin to teach it as one teaches a small child. In other words, begin by teaching yourself in the same manner you were taught. This is unbelievable. I have to have the same patience for myself that I have for youngsters. Certainly, a man's main task is to learn Torah, but together with this, he must cause the simplest and most basic truth to penetrate into the heart. Remember, we were relating this to tefillah, because Ezehi Avoda Shehi Belev. Zot tefillah. What is lahavas Hashem alkechem b'chol levavchem? You shall love Hashem your God with all your heart. Zot tefillah. Tefillah helps us strengthen the connection. Tefillah helps us teach ourselves. But we have to do it properly. We have to do it the right way. How many times we're davening? How much we're davening? Of when we're davening? That's not for the point of this class right now. We're learning hashkafically that we need to make time for Hashem. And we're moving into the 40 days, by the way. These 40 days from Moshe Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur are the final set of 40 days of Moshe Daven. Moshe was up in Shemayim for 3 sets of 40 days. The first one were Biratzon, so Chazal. Hashem willingly gave us the Torah. Then he came down and he saw, what did he see? Shivas Arbatamas? Klai Yisrael doing? The golden calf. He broke the luchos. He went back up to Davin for 40 more days. Yod Ches Tammuz through the end of Av. Chaf Tes Av. But Hashem was angry for those 40 days. And then the final set of 40 days is from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom HaKippur. When Hashem said, Salachti Kivarecha. How did the kapara come? With tefillah. Who davened for us? Moshe Rabbeinu davened for us. So we must remember that we are trying to stir our own hearts. We have to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we have to make time for Hashem, and certainly we need to make time for ourselves. There is a creator in the world. Allow this basic truth to penetrate into the heart. I am not going to start the piece of the Rav that I wanted to start now because we do not have time. I want to make sure to give it ample time. Anything, ladies? So we are being Zocha to Be'ezras Hashem, be Mevarech L'Chodesh. Shabizocha to a chodesh of Simcha and Chaim, Yeshua besuras Tovos, Asana of Klai Yisrael, Amen v'Amen. Thank you. Should be a chodesh Tov for all. Thank you, everybody.